It's the summertime and the Clippers are not hot.
No, it is not. That was a brutal weekend.
Yeah, really, really rough weekend for the Clippers. We're going to dig into that on today's episode of Locked On Clippers, part of the On NBA Network. I'm William the Opinion Updike, joined as always by...
I'm positive Chuck Mockler. Trying to be positive.
Trying
Chuck
to be positive. we're going to kick things off with a recap of that brutal loss to the Lakers. This one came down to the wire. The direction wasn't there.
There was a lot that wasn't there.
The veteran presence was definitely missed. We'll talk about this a little bit later, but I feel like this furthers the Patrick Beverley MVP debate that only I am having.
You brought up on Friday. Yeah.
And then we're going to do a recap of that futile effort against the Warriors.
Yeah, that was tough. We don't have to get too in-depth on that one, but that one was tough.
Another rough one. Some bright spots of that. We did get to see a lot of run from the young guys.
Shamet looked great.
Yeah, that was really nice. Shamet had a bit of a bounce-back game, his first really solid game since the left ankle impingement. And then we're going to wrap things up with our regular Monday segment, which, if you're new to the show, is the Freshies, kind of our rookie status report slash just kind of new guy chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that... just full disclosure, guys, if you listen to our Friday pod, we were wrong about everything.
Oh, yeah.
We got everything wrong.
Yes.
Sorry about that. We were convinced we were going to be the sixth seed.
I thought we were going to work the Lakers.
Yeah, I think everyone did. The Clippers, if you are not familiar, lost that game 117 to 122.
Yeah.
One of the weirdest crowds I've ever been in as a... in a sporting event.
It was very, up and down. It was very mixed. There would be people booing at, like, Trez taking a free throw and then
he'd make it
cheering.
And everyone would cheer.
Yeah,
it was very odd.
It was very, very weird.
This there was no Beverly or Green in this game.
Yeah, which was super apparent. It was really, really apparent.
It really showed.
Yeah.
Doc said that Beverly's injury is an injury of concern, but not a serious injury.
Yeah, that just means it's a serious
injury. He was held out for this game. So some quick stats on this. Gallo had himself a day.
Oh, yeah.
27-6-8.
Which I think that's his most assists, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. We should check the big book. Shea added 28-6.
Oh, yeah.
Looked great. Lou had 18-4-8, and Temple had 16. After that, it was kind of not good.
Yeah. Yeah, not great. This is kind of mind-blowing to me, but our starters got outscored 96-74, which even with the absence of Beverly, I feel like is, I want to say, a little inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Caruso had 32-10-5.
Yeah.
KCP had 25. Rondo had 15-6-12.
Yeah.
And JaVale McGee had 18-10.
Yeah, JaVale had himself, I thought was a really solid game.
He looked great. We weren't picking him up in transition, which didn't make any sense. There were times when Shea was pointing at JaVale, and Zubats or someone was just not there quick enough, and he got an open run at the basket.
Yeah, definitely. Not to be too negative on this, but I would say two back-to-back not great games for Zubats. Yeah. He did finish this Lakers competition with 11-8, but just didn't... He just didn't seem fully present on the defensive end.
He should have gotten more time than Trez. Trez did okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't really there.
Yeah.
No one was.
It wasn't a great matchup. And, on the other end of the floor, we actually had a little bit of a chat about this, how all season we've been downplaying Harrell's defense.
In terms of the shortcomings.
In terms of the shortcomings, yeah. He does a lot well.
He hustles,
and he's a hustle guy, and he can be good on the glass,
for sure.
On that end, but yeah, he just has a tendency to get exposed, especially against regular size centers.
For sure, not necessarily a liability, but not a plus defender, I would say.
I mean, we've talked about our struggles with interior defense, I feel like, all season long.
Yeah, it's been a consistent problem.
And we've never been one to point fingers, but it definitely
isn't.
Except
when Gortat was on the team.
Yeah. And it definitely hasn't... It hasn't been the biggest help at all times.
Yeah. His offense definitely...
Offsets a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. His energy and stuff like that, for sure. We actually led this game by 12 at the beginning of the third.
Mm-hmm. We had a great second quarter. I mean, we lost every quarter except for the second. where we outscored them 37-26. But, yeah, I mean, otherwise we lost every other single quarter. Doc, I thought, summed it up really well. Like, you know, that they deserved to win. They came out playing like, you know, they were ready to win, and they did.
Playing like a bunch of guys who need to play for their next contract.
Oh, yeah.
And it showed. I mean, they punched us in the mouth. They killed us on the boards. I think they out-rebounded us by 10. We shot poorly. The Lakers shot 60% in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
I think we shot 40% or 30%.
They finished with, as a team, 44% from three. And we shot about 34%.
Yeah, Rondo went 3 of 4 from deep in the fourth.
Yeah.
Which is,
I mean, anytime Rondo's knocking down threes, it's going to be a bad night.
They were, what makes this loss really tough, too, is that they were running a 9-man rotation.
Yeah.
They had, I mean, obviously the big names were out. LeBron, Kuzma was out. Ingram was out. Ball, Lance Stephenson, Reggie Bullock. I mean, everyone who actually contributes on a consistent basis for Lakers was out.
So I guess just like taking a look at this from like a bird's eye view, do you firmly just attribute this to an effort thing? Like, do you think that the guys came out ready to play down or came out, you know, like ready to kind of...
Not taking it seriously as they should have?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, I mean, over the year, the Clippers have outperformed.
Yeah.
I mean, they were better than they should have been. I'm not saying they should... I'm not pegging them at like the 33 wins thing at all. Absolutely not. But... I mean, we have 47 wins.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Definitely.
And I think we're exhausted.
Yeah.
I think Beverly's way more important to the gel of this team than we even thought just even a couple weeks ago.
For sure.
I think part of it is that they just weren't, I mean, they didn't want it. It's such a stupid cliche. But
yeah.
The Lakers, if you watch this game, clearly had more effort.
Definitely. It was another situation.
Couple with some bad luck from us on shooting and stuff.
It was another situation, too, where they trapped pretty efficiently. Like, they kind of shut down the pick and roll pretty
Lou,
well for Lou and Trez, which was, to me, really disheartening to see.
Yeah. They played a zone.
Yeah. They played a zone at times, which I still don't understand why we're not able to overcome that offensively.
Yeah.
Especially just given the amount of shooters that we have. Like, a zone... Yeah. Should be a recipe for disaster
against
for the other team.
This team, for sure.
So that was really disheartening. And then just as I talked about at the top, I just feel like I know it's not going to happen, but I feel like Patrick Beverly deserves to be in maybe that fifth spot in the MVP debate because after watching these games, I feel like this team minus Patrick Beverly is the 35 win team.
I don't know about that. I think they're maybe a 40-ish win team. I don't think it's as low as 35.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not 35. But, I mean, he is a giant part. You talked about the zone messing with our shooters. Shamet only had 3 attempted shots this whole game.
Yeah, and
Doc was
pretty candid about this. He's, you know, when he sees the box score and, you know, Shamet's only taking 3 attempts, it's just a, you know, like it's just a clear indication that the ball movement wasn't where it needed to be.
Yeah.
Which was definitely true. We didn't move the ball that well. We did do a lot of, like, you know, kind of dribble ISOs, and it was kind of like, it wasn't the team play that we've come to expect from this squad. It was kind of more of the, what happens on teams with stars, where I feel like it's kind of the, okay, your turn, my turn,
for
your
sure.
turn, my turn kind of a thing. And, you know, with the exception of Gallo having kind of a scoring explosion, it just wasn't effective.
Yeah. The play that really epitomizes this game is with 40, just in turn, this game was just shooting ourselves in the foot over and over.
Yeah.
With 45 seconds left, Gallo hits a 3 to cut their lead to 3.
Yeah.
Absolutely enough time. And then we just let Alex Caruso walk to the rim for a layup.
It was unreal.
It was just, they inbounded the ball. He just ran. He took the inbounds pass.
Yeah.
He didn't get a pass right else. There was no screen setting. He just ran up and laid it in.
Yeah.
And the whole stadium, it was just like, oh, okay.
So
we're done. We weren't fouling late. Which was
we
weird.
Weren't fouling, which is something I would like to talk about a little bit, too. We just had fouls to give. We still had 2 or 3 timeouts.
And we weren't even trying.
And I was really kind of baffled by this. I was so much so that I didn't even want to ask Doc about it because I feel like it gets into that thing where I'm being like a little armchair coachy.
Yeah.
But I guess I just didn't understand the reasoning.
I did not get it either. Yeah, so that was part one of the depressing game recaps we have for you today.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming up after this, we'll do a recap of the Warriors game that happened yesterday. But first, guys, we were watching the games at Tom's. We met a friendly Utah Jazz fan.
Oh, yeah, great.
And a guy from L.A. who was just happy there was an L.A. team in the playoffs.
Definitely.
Very rational human being. If you need a place to watch March Madness, if you're in LA, check out Tom's Urban LA Live tonight. The final is going. My bracket's already busted. 70 big screen TVs. We had the barbecue chicken pizza.
Yeah.
It was great. Best non-pepperoni pizza, I would say, is the barbecue chicken pizza. Anyway, Tom's Urban LA Live, jump shot away from Staples Center. Check it out. So the Clippers lost to the Warriors.
Yes.
.04 to .131.
Yeah.
I mean, so in this game, not only was Patrick Beverley and Michael Green were out, mm-hmm. so was Gallinari.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the last regular season game at Oracle, which is a sneaky 67 years old.
Oh, wow.
No idea it was that old. And the Warriors were wearing their jerseys from the We Believe era. This was going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
As soon as it was just like the stars lined up to get our asses kicked.
Definitely.
Here's some stats. Landry Shamet led the Clippers with 17 on 5 of 6 shooting from 3.
Mm-hmm.
He was the brightest spot from this game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Lou started, had 13, 5, and 5. Shea had 12.
Which was kind of surprising, just given he played nearly 30 minutes.
Yeah. The Warriors, Steph led the way with 27. KD had only 16. And Draymond put together a nice game of 10, 10, and 9.
So before we get too in-depth of this, I guess I want to just point out two things that I'm kind of disappointed in both this game and the Rockets game. And it's just that without our guys, and I realize that injuries and just general fatigue is for sure a limiting factor. But I feel like the real travesty of both these games, aside from the losses, we just didn't get any sort of accurate sample size for
this team in the playoffs.
For how to prepare for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, what could you ask from Jermichael? You know, he just had his baby.
He just had a kid. Good congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, Beverly was injured. Gallo, I understand you want to be tentative. But man, just a few, like, is that too much to ask? Like just a few minutes, like
just
play these guys
minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Just so we can see what those matchups look like?
Do you think we're doing this on purpose?
No.
No? Yeah. I was kind of reaching on that one.
I love the optimism on Twitter that people are like, you know, Doc doesn't want to show his hand or whatever. Doc is very frank about this kind of stuff in press conferences where he's like, every team in the playoffs comes out with one play. And you're like, oh, wow, this is new. And then by game two, you know the play.
Yeah.
So... you know, I don't think he's a guy that's like...
You don't think he's gaming him that hard.
I don't think he's like keeping this secret thing up his sleeve that he's had all season.
It's
that
up
he
his
hasn't
sleeve
used.
Right now. Even when he's wearing t-shirts, it's up his sleeve. No, I kind of agree with you. We're going to talk about some of the freshies too. Yeah, with the Rockets, who we're probably going to end up playing. Or no, it's going to be the Warriors. But even if it's going to be the Rockets... We got unlucky at the beginning of the year because we missed Harden and Chris Paul in two different games. I mean, I guess it's good we got to see the Warriors at full strength, but we kind of already know what the Warriors are like at full strength.
There's no surprises there. Yeah. There's not really any surprises there.
Back to the game. Our starting lineup was Shea, Lou, Shamet, Chandler, and Trez.
Mm-hmm.
Went about as expected.
Yeah.
Against the Warriors.
One thing that I was surprised on, and this is a firm reversal from what I'd said about Trez in the earlier segment. I was kind of surprised how well he matched up against Cousins.
He really frustrated
Boogie. Yeah.
So did Zubats. Zubats bodied Cousins a couple times, and it was great to see.
Yeah.
He challenged him a couple times. It was awesome.
Yeah, they held Cousins to only 12 points on 4 of 15 shooting over the 23 minutes
early
that Cousins
fouls,
played.
Too.
And got him into foul trouble early. He finished with 4 fouls. So I did kind of give some demerits. Is that the correct word? Kind of demerits to Trez's defensive game. But he had really a solid showing here. And I think that this kind of center, obviously, like the small ball center is a tailor-made matchup for Trez. And, you know, obviously that allows Zoo to be so much more smothering.
Yeah.
Especially when they didn't have Boogie posting up as much outside the arc.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, he was admirable this game. So was Zoo. That was great. Our starters actually shot 50% from 3,
mm-hmm.
but also shot 58% from the line.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Got out-rebounded.
The free throw shooting in both these games for us was pretty atrocious.
Uncharacteristic, which is what makes me think that there's some fatigue taking.
Yeah, so this is like a perfect natural segue. I had wondered yesterday, just kind of thinking aloud, that there's
just by yourself,
just you know, just throwing it out there into the ether. I think that there might be some more nagging injuries that haven't shown up on the report.
Guys are playing hurt, you think? Not injured.
I think that guys are playing hurt, not injured. Okay. And I think that it's one of those things that hopefully, like, the little bit of amount of rest that they're going to get after after Wednesday night.
Yeah, maybe 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, is enough. I don't really know that that's going to be the case.
Trez has had some ankle stuff. He rolled his ankle in that Lakers game.
So he rolled his ankle twice. And he's, you know, he's limped up a couple of times. You know, he's been really pretty firm that he's not hurt and that he's able to, like, lace up his shoes
tight.
And, like,
he's never going to tell, like, obviously.
And he's just not the kind of guy to ever let on if an injury is bothering him. But I got to wonder, especially with that, like, defensive effort in the Friday game against the Lakers, if there's not some more kind of nagging stuff going on.
I agree.
Zubats, too.
Fingers still seem like they're a bit of an issue.
The fingers are definitely an issue. He only was able to convert 2 field goals on 8 attempts.
Reffing down low was a little rough in this game for the Clippers. There were some shots where it was like, that just seems like a foul, sir.
I'm
not blaming the whole thing on it. We lost by 30 or whatever, but it was just a little tough down there. Shamit was the best part of this game.
Yeah, Shamit was a definite highlight. It was great to see him come back into form.
The game was interesting early. We were down 5, like it was within strike, and that was because Shamit went 4 of 5 from 3 in the first quarter. After that, he went 1 of 1 in the second, missed both of his shots in the third, and then didn't play in the fourth.
Yeah.
Durant was actually tasked with shutting him down after the first, and after the game, Durant, this is a great quote, he said, "I had to use a lot of my energy to guard him, and I think tonight the game plan was to kind of shut that off, and we did. That kind of took a little bit of energy they had because he was flying around, shooting 1 dribble pull-up threes, getting to the rim, drawing and kicking. He's an amazing young player, and I think that he will be a force in this league for a while, especially the way he plays. Credit to him that we had to switch our game plan up for him."
Which you love to hear.
You love to hear. And some of those shots that Shamit was hitting were absolutely bonkers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Falling sideways, all that stuff. He was great. It was great to see him seeming to trend upward. After the game, he had a good quote. He was like, "We've just lost 3 in a row. You don't want to lose 4 in a row.
Yeah.
We've got to win on Wednesday." Jerome and Motley got some run.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole bunch to say about this game. We just got killed.
Yeah.
Jerome, 10 points on 4 of 6 shooting, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. Looked better than he has.
Yeah. One puzzling thing from this. We didn't see a lot of Garrett Temple minutes in this contest. Do you think that that was an effort to just give some of the younger guys some more run? Because he had a pretty solid game coming off that Lakers game.
I think Doc knew what was going on. And it was like, let's get these guys some red.
For sure.
Because we're going to talk about this next segment for sure. Because we haven't really at all during their season.
Yeah.
Which I think I have a couple reasons for. Motley was 4 of 6, 6 boards, 9 points. I don't know. We had 3 key guys out. I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, we were playing hard, it seemed like. That was the positive.
See, I thought that was a huge positive, which I should have mentioned right at the top.
Yeah.
But the effort on this one was definitely there. It's a little bit of a bummer that, like, we have to play. You know, we only play up to our opponent.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, though?
We were out 3 guys.
Yeah.
3 huge guys.
3 huge guys. Especially just, you know, the bench suffers so hard without JaMychal. Wilson has been playing better as of recent.
Yeah.
Still hasn't really been able to space the floor in the way that we thought. Still some kinks. Defensively, you know, he's had his ups and downs. I feel like it hasn't been as solid as I've thought of him as a defender.
Yeah.
And, you know, Temple obviously has been really up and down. Trez, you know, isn't a guy made to space the floor. So
yeah, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that.
It just gets really, like, the spacing gets really, really difficult on that second unit if you don't have JaMychal out there. And if, obviously, you know, Lou Will is starting.
Yeah.
I
mean, as soon as we saw that starting lineup, it was like, okay, this one could be a little rough, and it was.
Yeah.
Coming up after this advertisement, we're going to be talking to you guys on the Freshies.
It's fresh. All right, so Freshies, what do you got for us?
So I was happy to see Jerome have a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Did we waste Ty Wall's season?
That's an interesting question. I was a little bit surprised, honestly, that we went after him just given how little we've seen of him this season. He's had some great games, most notably that road game against the Pelicans early in the season. I think that was his best game.
He hasn't been playing well, which I kind of credit to the fact that he's gotten such spotty run.
Agreed.
In the season.
Agreed. And, you know, obviously you love a guy who can come off the bench and provide and, like, be some sort of consistent presence. But if you're not playing even every game, I think that that gets a little bit harder to do.
Absolutely.
And I think it's maybe a little unrealistic to expect much more, to be perfectly honest, than spotty play. You know, there's... It's like I just said in the last segment about the spacing on that second unit. Ty isn't improving anything in that regard.
Yeah, for sure.
I've liked that it seems like his ability to handle the ball has gotten a little bit better.
Definitely.
The assists still aren't really there.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who can kind of drive to the basket.
Plus defender.
And a plus defender. I don't know. I just wonder, I don't want to say that we wasted his season. Actually, no. On the Pelicans, he would have got more run.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah,
And I just mean, it's a little concerning for the playoffs. We don't really know what the rotations are going to be. And you want guys to be in the groove, so to speak, before the playoffs start.
He has averaged, how many minutes do you think that Ty Wall has averaged?
This year?
Yeah.
3.
10.
Really?
Which is very surprising to me, because it just must be out of the games that he's actually played in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They must be omitting...
DNPs.
Yeah.
What do you got for us for the freshies?
So, I guess just going off of that, do you think Jerome is ready to play for our team?
Not the second unit.
Okay.
So the third unit, yeah.
The third unit, yeah, I mean, that
I want him to, because he... I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on the Jerome situation. He looked great on Sunday.
He's also averaging nearly 10 minutes a game, according to Basketball Reference. Once again, this is all per Basketball Reference. Because
are games that he's played.
If you were to ask me on gut feeling, I would say, I don't know, 3 minutes?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that.
And he is averaging, he's averaging 3 points, 1 board, half an assist. All of his shooting splits are what's a little concerning. So, field goal percentage, 39%, which is all right for a rookie. It's like fine. Yeah. It's not good, but it's fine. 32% from three.
That's not what you want to see.
A 71% free throw shooter, which to me is actually the most troubling of those three splits.
I like that he got a bunch of play down for Agua Caliente. It seemed like he had some good games this year, for sure.
It was definitely necessary to build his confidence.
Yeah, and it looked like his confidence... People talked about this on Twitter, and I tended to agree with them. He has what Shea had earlier in the year. He has that shyness in terms of his offensive game.
Yeah.
That Beverly kind of shook out of Shea.
Yeah.
So, but that's hard to shake out if you're not getting consistent minutes.
Definitely.
Not even a bunch of minutes is what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say, like, play the guy literally 10 minutes every game.
And I'm also, like, a little bit concerned with fit. Just in that second unit, he doesn't offer the defensive upside to be able to cover for Lou Will in the backcourt. Currently.
Yeah, currently, for sure.
That could change. That could definitely change. You know, we knew he was going to be a project coming in. So
yeah,
that's
the whole thing.
Well, once again, I realize it sounds like I'm being pretty down on this right now. I'm not. It's, you know, this is just me, baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, we knew that he was going to be a project coming in. So I feel this season for him is definitely less wasted than maybe Ty Wall's.
Yeah, I don't think the season's wasted. It's just kind of like a... I mean, everyone's just so happy we have Shea.
Yeah.
If there was no other pick, this would be a very frustrating situation. But it's not.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
For sure.
And I liked what I saw on Sunday.
Yeah. Just one last thing on Jerome before we move on. Do you think that he ends up being a trade piece?
We talked about this with... Who was I talking? I can't remember who it was at the game. Yes, I think he's going to be part of a trade piece.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be tossed in there somewhere.
And then before we move on to Big Money Motley, I just want to do a quick aside.
Yeah.
Clipper fave of the pod at least, Sindarius Thornwell.
Yeah.
Clipper
for life.
He is averaging 4.8 minutes per game.
Yeah.
So less than either one of these guys. I think he's made more appearances.
He's made. That's the thing. I don't like what Basketball Reference does. They're taking based on his the games you actually play. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And he his current splits are per game 1 point, almost a board.
Okay.
And
so 1 and 1.
And a third of an assist.
So 1, 1, and 1.
And shooting splits are troubling. 34.7% field goal percentage.
Okay.
20% from three.
Don't see what's wrong with that.
72% free throw shooter.
I mean, a guy who's not supposed to score, who's not getting any run. This is, you can't cherry pick offensive stats for.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm not doing that at all.
Defensive rating 33. No, that'd be great.
Let's take a quick peek. His defensive rating this year is 110.
Okay.
So perfectly average.
Perfectly average.
Not good. And his offensive rating.
Oh, man. 84.
86.
Ooh, that was close.
So that's a net.
He's a spot defensive guy. We've literally put him in to get steals on inbounds play, and he's done it. So yeah. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Great locker room guy.
And, you know, we say all this not to, like, bag on any of these guys. Obviously, we love all of these
just
young guys.
Just inconsistent play.
It's just inconsistent play, and it's getting to a situation where it's kind of like, what are we doing?
Well, this actually crooked grinds perfectly into your next point, kind of about Motley.
Yeah.
Who had the best plus-minus of any Clipper on Sunday.
Yes. He was +4.
+4.
Finished with 9, 6, and 1. Added a steal. 67% field goal percentage.
A sick dunk. But what are we going to do with all this kind of group of guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly think it looks to me to be closer to a trade move.
Yeah. We're not saying there's anything in the works.
No, I don't think there's anything currently in the works. I think
I'll call Jerry after this.
I think out of all these guys, if I was to pick one, I would say Jerome is the most safe.
Oh, I think the opposite.
Just because of his value?
Yeah. I think he's the one who might be moved first.
He provides the most value for sure. I just think that the connection with Jerome in the front office is not to be necessarily understated.
I didn't even think of that. That's a very good point.
So for that reason, to me, he would be the safest.
Number
but he
two
does
seems Ty Wall. He seems movable. He's on a really cheap contract.
Yeah,
people kind of know what he can do.
Definitely.
I think he's an asset who might be moved.
And if you pair him on a second unit with. Let's just talk a great natural shooter. I don't know. Someone. Let me just toss a name out there. Let's say Seth Curry. You know, you pair him with the Seth Curry
yeah.
in the backcourt.
That's a good backcourt.
That's a to come off your bench. That's a pretty solid backcourt.
Yeah.
I think all of these guys are going to be able to carve out playing time. I just don't know if it's going to be for this team.
For sure. I tweeted about this. It's been a kind of a gut punch this last week
for this team,
but it is always important to remember the season was already a success.
Definitely. It's also just a part of the process, man.
We built a culture.
Yeah.
We got a good core. That very friendly Los Angeles fan was talking about how much he loved the culture of the Clippers and the core, and that's what we got to be excited about.
Yeah,
try
definitely.
And put some good vibes out there for Wednesday. We got two days. Take some time to self-care.
Who do you think sits out this game against the Jazz?
Nobody.
Really?
I think nobody's sitting.
Just because so much is on the line.
So much is on the line, and I think it's Ralph's last home game.
Yeah.
In the regular season.
Yeah.
He's older than the Oracle. He's the original Oracle. It's his last regular season home game. With how it's going, if we win on Wednesday and the Rockets lose, we are the 7th seed. And the Thunder lose.
The Thunder lose.
We are the 7th seed.
Okay.
So I think he just wants to take care of business and get that win.
Yeah. And if we have similar scores, I believe both the Spurs and OKC have tiebreakers over us.
Fantastic.
maybe that changes it with a loss to Houston. I cannot quite remember. So don't lambast me about this.
Regardless, we just got to win on Wednesday.
We got to win on Wednesday.
I don't think anyone sits. I hope no one sits. That's going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, that about does it for a bit of a morose Monday pod.
Just another morose Monday.
Thanks for listening very much. Please rate, review us, what have you, on iTunes, Spotify, and whatnot.
Check out the Himalaya app.
Yes, get those pods in order. You can listen to Friday's pod and just hear us be so wrong about everything.
Yeah.
If you really want to. Tomorrow we're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday, so we're going to be doing some live stream. It's going to be a pretty big episode. There's not a game tomorrow. So
no.
It's not going to be a preview
Tonight
show.
Is the first the first night since, I mean, I guess the All-Star break where there hasn't been any NBA games.
And it's because of the NCAA tournament.
All right.
It is. Anyway, so send us those questions. We're going to have a whole bunch of time to go over that stuff. Maybe we'll film in the weird abandoned part of the office again. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.